Penguin Random House Audio presents The Immortals of Tehran by Ali Araghi, read for you by Peter Ganim. Chapter 1. Ahmad was a 10-year-old boy when he was a 10-year-old boy. Never would he have thought, as he played tag with his childhood friends in the village of Tajrish, that he would one day watch his best friend's father bite off a dead cat's ear. Ahmad could not have foreseen that he would one day work in a forge, pounding white-hot iron with a heavy hammer. His childhood imagination could never have pictured the trains that sped through tunnels under the big city, in which one grasped for a hanging strap. In short, Ahmad Torkashvand could not have fathomed that the fog that shrouded the village that early summer morning would change the course of their history. On Ahmad's sister's wedding day, the morning fog descended the mountains as if some god had summoned it from the far seas. Many in the village had been in preparations since the marriage was announced by Ahmad's father 1 month before. On the day of the fog, as it would later be called by those who decided to stay, a knocking woke Ahmad from his sleep. The sound traveled, jerky and anxious, from the front door, across the yard, into the house, along the hallway, and into Ahmad's bedroom. For a few seconds, he thought he had heard the rap in his dreams. His eyes were closing again when the repeated pounding yanked him out of sleep. He sat up, remembering his sister's wedding. His mother had told him the night before that she would leave for the orchard with the women from the neighboring houses shortly after dawn to prepare for the ceremony. She had asked him to let the chickens out of the coop, scatter some feed, and not forget to get them back in before leaving for the orchard. That was his only chore for the morning. The house was quiet. "Mom!" Ahmad called out toward his closed door. He sprang up from his sleeping pad on the floor to look out the window. Behind the white lace curtain, a fog had fallen so dense he could barely make out anything in the courtyard. With its chain-link fence lost in white, the coop was no more than the ghost of a large cage with blurry wooden posts. The blue hose that reflected the overhanging elm branches in its calm water every morning had dimmed into an unidentifiable dark patch. Ahmad heard the nervous knocking again, and this time Salman's voice came with it. "Ahmad!" Ahmad was not unfamiliar with Salman's banging on the door, which often meant playtime out in the dirt alleys or outside the village on the mountain trails, shooting pebbles at sparrows with slingshots. But his friend had never come so early in the morning, when it was time to prepare fresh meat for the customers, and he had to lend a hand at the butchery. In response to Salman's shout, the rooster, Ahmad's favorite in the coop, cried out a hoarse, "Roo-roo-lee-roo-hoo!" "Coming!" Ahmad shouted as he stepped onto the wide veranda that overlooked the courtyard. The fog was the thickest Ahmad had ever walked into. If he had not already known where the hose, the flower beds, the coop, and the cauldrons were, he would have lost his way in the limbo of the large yard.
"Ahmad, hurry! It's your father!"
Suddenly the fog seeped into Ahmad's chest. From the pile of shoes and slippers, he threw on the first pair he could find, ran down the four steps into the courtyard, and sprinted to the front door. Salman was restlessly shifting his weight from one foot to the other. Worry shot from his eyes. Without a word, he started running. Ahmad ran after him, along alleys in which fog flowed like a river toward a white sea. In front of him, Salman was a ghost, only half visible, partially dissolved. Ahmad had to exert himself to catch up with his swift-footed friend, lest the fog eat him altogether. He kicked off his slippers. The only sounds were their steps on the ground and their panting. The rest of the world had gone.
Ahmad tried to think what might have happened to his father. He followed Salman around a corner and came to the open area in front of the mosque where a murmuring crowd had gathered. The people close to the entrance were more visible, while the ones on the periphery blended into white. "Here comes his son!" someone shouted. The people Ahmad could see turned their heads toward him as the crowd parted to let him through. Both metal doors of the mosque were flung open. Usually only one door was used. The second was unlatched only for funerals, marriages, and ceremonies. Surrounded by the onlookers and standing taller than them all, Mullah Ali was waiting close to the door. It was the first time Ahmad had seen the mullah without his white turban. The man's sparse gray hair was in disarray, as if he had run his hand through it in different directions. He had draped his black cloak over his shoulders without changing out of his striped cream pajamas and white undershirt. Inside the mosque, a few men stood facing the small door in the corridor that opened into the stairwell inside the minaret. The turquoise tiles of the minaret faded into the milky haze before Ahmad could see what was happening up at the crown.
"Come down, Nasser," Nemat the barber shouted up. "Don't do this to the house of God."
Ahmad felt a hole open in his stomach, down which his insides tumbled in an endless fall. It was his father Nemat was calling. The muffled sound of metal hitting something non-metal was the only reply from the top of the minaret.
"Step back, step back!" shouted one of the men standing inside.
Some ran out, and others dashed farther into the mosque before something rumbled in the minaret and large chunks of broken brick shot out of the stairwell at the bottom. A flower pot broke. Ahmad looked around at the faces he saw every day. The grocer, the bathhouse keeper, Mohammed the carpenter, the baker, Salman's father, Mash Akbar, a short man with a big stomach, and everyone else. It was hard to make out the faces of the women who were sitting, mostly in white chadors camouflaged by the fog, on the rooftops witnessing the incident. He could not tell if his mother was among them. Why would she be watching and doing nothing? Salman's father limped over to him and rested a hand on his shoulder.
"What's my father doing, Mash Akbar?" Ahmad asked.
But before Mash Akbar could answer, there was a gunshot from the top of the minaret, a shot into the fog. Everyone looked up in sudden agitation, although nothing could be seen. Ahmad was afraid. A second shot was fired. Salman covered his ears. Ahmad, too, put his hands on his ears and took shelter behind Mash Akbar. Mullah Ali combed his black and white beard with his long, bony fingers and looked up at the top of the minaret.
"Nasser Khan, come down!" he shouted. "There are no Russians in the sky!"
Another shot followed. A man stood next to Nemat the barber with a sheet tied around his neck, half his head shaved clean and the other half covered in lather. Ahmad had seen him before, but did not know his name. Word had it he once loved a girl who broke his heart by running off with someone else. Now the man lived in a shack in the mountains and came down to Tajrish only to buy necessities, sell wild rhubarb, and shave his head. Nemat the barber grabbed the man by the arm. "Let's go," he said, pulling gently. "Let's go finish you. The man's gone cuckoo again." This he said looking at Ahmad, as if the ballyhoo was the boy's fault. Ahmad kept his ears covered. There was another gunshot, and more brick came rolling down the spiral stairwell of the minaret.
"Nasser Khan," shouted Mullah Ali. "Your son is here. Can you hear me? Ahmad is here."
Nasser was looking for trouble again. That was what Ahmad's grandfather, Aminullah Khan, would have said. Khan had certainly not yet heard what was happening, or else he would already be at the mosque to write things.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?